This is Adam Richard in the KHNS Newsroom, bringing you news from the Upper Lynn Canal and Southeast region every weekday from Monday evening through Friday morning, and featuring NPR Business News on Monday mornings and the Alaska Fisheries Report on Friday evenings. You can also find your local news anytime at khns.org. Thanks for listening.
From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, Republicans in the U.S. Senate are challenging aid for Alaskan fishermen in the wake of the King Salmon disaster. Good Samaritans were busy in Southeast last week, and we hear the results of a genetic study of Western Alaska salmon. All that and more coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
A major genetic study of sockeye salmon in western Alaska was rolled out last month, and the results were outlined in great detail during the recent Alaska Board of Fisheries Bristol Bay meeting in Naknek. KDLG's Mike Mason covered the meeting and filed this report.
Commercial fishery stakeholders across western Alaska have been waiting for months for the WASIP study. WASIP stands for Western Alaska Salmon Stock Identification Program, and the study was expected to answer a lot of questions about the distribution of salmon and where fish destined for a specific river are actually harvested. Early on in the recent Board of Fish meeting in Naknek, the WASIP study was formally presented to the members of the board. Eric Volk is the chief fishery scientist for the Division of Commercial Fisheries within ADF&G, and he was the chair of the 11-member advisory panel that helped guide the WASIP study. He says there's been a need for a large genetic study for many years, and the WASIP study was done with some basic questions in mind.
We asked what stocks are caught in any given fishery, and another way to look at that is what stocks of fish are being caught in my fishery. We would like to know how the stock compositions vary through time in a given fishery. How do these stock compositions translate into numbers of fish? How are harvest numbers viewed as a proportion of the total run or harvest rate? And how do each of these metrics vary by fine and broad scale reporting groups?
The entire WASIP study is contained in 9 reports that document the genetic results gathered from salmon ranging from Chignik to Kotzebue. In total, nearly 82,000 fish samples were analyzed from 294 distinct salmon populations. The results of the WASIP study, with a specific emphasis on Bristol Bay sockeye, were outlined by Fish and Game's chief geneticist, Chris Habicht. He confirmed that the vast majority of the sockeye harvested in the Ugashik district were fish from the Ugashik River stock, with some Igigik sockeye winding up in the harvest as well. He noted that fish from several stocks in the bay were documented in the run to the Igigik district, and those fish showed up in the harvest.
We can see that it's, again, primarily Igigik fish that are captured in the Igigik district, with some Kwijak, Alagnak, Naknek, and Ugashik fish. When we move to harvest rates, we can see that the harvest rate for all of Bristol Bay is in the order of 15-20%, but the harvest rate for the Igigik fish, or the Igigik stock in particular, within the Igigik district, is around 70-75%. So that means that 70-75% of all the fish returning, or all of the total run, is being captured in the Igigik district.
The data presented to the Board of Fish showed that the vast majority of the sockeye that showed up and were harvested in 4 of Bristol Bay's 5 fishing districts were Bristol Bay fish. However, Habicht noted that in the Togiak district, the genetics showed some Kuskokwim Bay sockeye. The estimates vary, but some of the data suggests that as much as 27% of the sockeye in the Togiak district are actually Kuskokwim Bay fish, with the vast majority of those fish identified as coming from the Good News Bay stock.
We see some general trends in stock compositions through time, with the Kuskokwim Bay fish highly represented early in the season and decreasing throughout the season, whereas the Bristol Bay fish increase throughout the season.
Many stakeholders in the commercial fisheries in Bristol Bay and Area M to the south were hoping the WASIP study would provide some answers to some long-standing questions about the interception of Bristol Bay sockeye in Area M. Habicht confirms that most of the harvest appears to be Bristol Bay fish. To outline that point, he showed the members of the Board of Fish some data from 2006 that showed that 180,000 sockeye out of a harvest of 205,000 fish between July the 2nd and July the 12th in the Outer Port Hyden section were Bristol Bay-bound sockeye.
95,000 of those fish were going to Ugashik, 20,000 were going to Naknek, about 20,000 were going to Naknek and Wood each, and about 10,000 were going to Krejak and Igik. This is the kind of information one can find in these reports if you dive down into the different levels of appendices.
Habeck notes that Bristol Bay fish taken outside of the bay are almost exclusively found in the harvest in the North Peninsula and in the South Peninsula June fishery. The WASIP study is contained in 9 very detailed reports that can be found on the Alaska Department of Fish and Game website. In Dillingham, I'm Mike Mason.
You're listening to the Alaska Fisheries Report. Hear the whole show online anytime at kmxt.org.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by AMSEA, the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for commercial fishermen throughout Alaska. On the web at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
Alaska provisions in a relief bill for states affected by Superstorm Sandy are coming under scrutiny. As APRN's Peter Granitz reports, some senior Republican senators want to strip aid for the declared Alaska King Salmon disaster.
The bill is a priority of Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. He says senators must understand the upper chamber will not recess for Christmas until the relief package is finished. Here he is speaking on the Senate floor Monday.
We have an opportunity to help make families and communities whole again. I hope my colleagues on both sides of the aisle will join in moving quickly to send aid to those affected by Sandy as they continue to recover and rebuild.
The problem is, not all of the money is pegged for Sandy. Arizona Senator John McCain says he wants the Senate to vote to include or strip the $150 million allocated for fishery disasters. The money would go to Alaska, states in the Northeast, and the Gulf Coast. And none of it, says McCain, meets muster.
That doesn't have anything to do with a bill that's supposed to repair the damage done by a hurricane on the East Coast.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration approved the 3 regions that would receive the money. The fishery disaster declared in the Northeast was for damage not yet done. Senator Lisa Murkowski says Alaska's need is more pressing. She says the Appropriations Committee is determining levels of damage, designating regions as in need of immediate help, help in the near term, or money down the road.
If the need is now, if those families who were damaged are hurting, and the need is now, let's figure out a way to provide for that relief.
Conservative groups are now coming out against the aid bill, saying it sends too much money to too many projects that are not in immediate need. In Washington, D.C., I'm Peter Granitz.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
3 fishermen were rescued by a Good Samaritan vessel after their 42-foot troller hit a rock and sank southwest of Hecata Island, west of Prince of Wales. The crew of the vessel Equity radioed for help and then donned their survival suits and abandoned ship into their life raft Thursday night last week. The crew activated their EPIRB, which helped lead an Air Station Sitka helicopter and the Good Samaritan vessel High Pockets to their position. The crew was then taken to Klawak with no reported injuries. It was the second time in 2 days a Good Samaritan assisted other fishing boats in southeast. A troller with 2 people on board almost sank about 30 miles west of Wrangell last Wednesday night. Coast Guard spokesman David Mosley says the Carrie Arlene's crew donned survival suits after rough weather threatened the 36-foot boat. He says they expected they might have to abandon ship.
There were 3 to 4 foot waves that were crashing into the boat and over the boat and causing it to take water that way. There wasn't any report of damage to the hull itself, but it was just more of the elements coming against the vessel there and causing it to start sinking.
They put out a distress call via VHF, and the Coast Guard responded with an urgent call for assistance. A nearby ship, the 65-foot Eric, responded and towed the troller to a protected cove. Its one-man crew helped restart the Carrie Arlene's engine and electronics so water could be pumped out. Mosley says the troller's crew remained at the cove overnight and resumed sailing the next day.
It really should be noted that these fishermen, they were prepared. They had survival suits. They had the emergency flares to help rescuers find them in a pretty quick manner. And most importantly, they made that call. They made that call for help. And if we hadn't gotten that call, if they weren't prepared for this type of a situation, we could be looking for two people in the water somewhere.
The troller issued its distress call while in Snow Passage between Zarembo and Bushy Islands, not far from the northern edge of Prince of Wales Island. Mosley did not have the names of the crew on either boat.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Pebble Partnership. Listening before we act. Find out more at pebblepartnership.com.
And that's all for this edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help this week from KDLG's Mike Mason in Dillingham, KMXT's Brianna Gibbs in Kodiak, APRN's Peter Granitz in Washington, D.C., and Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau. From KMXT and Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.
Special thanks to KMXT and Jay Barrett in Kodiak. Happy holidays from the KHNS Newsroom. I'm Adam Richards.